This morning, as you may know, the Minister for Transport, Pascal Donoghue, is outlining a major tightening of road safety rules, including measures to take blood samples from drivers injured in crashes. With me now in studio, Professor Dennis Cusack of the School of Forensic Medicine at University College Dublin. He's also head of the Medical Bureau of Road Safety. He has advised the government on these new drink driving laws. Thank you very much indeed for coming in, Dennis. First of all, the taking of blood samples from people injured in crashes, in what circumstances will that arise?
It will only arise in a small number of cases, but one of the rules of medicine is that a blood sample cannot be taken from somebody without their agreement, unless it is for the sake of their health. So if a person's unconscious and, of course, they come in for treatment, blood samples can be taken. But this is a different scenario where someone is injured and unconscious or completely unable to give consent. And if it's in the circumstances of a road traffic crash and the Gardaí have proper reason to believe that the person may have been intoxicated, that is, have drink or drugs on board, they can now, under certain circumstances, ask a doctor to take a blood sample from that patient driver, which will, if all the conditions are fulfilled, it'll be taken, it'll be analysed, and when the driver regains consciousness or is able to voice his views, he'll be asked for consent, and it's only at that point will the result of the analysis be issued.
What are the circumstances or what are the conditions that have to be met for the sample to be taken?
Well, the first and most important thing is if somebody's injured and they're unconscious, the primary focus is on making sure that they are treated, and particularly if they're in any danger of their lives. So the treating doctor in the hospital would have to okay this, that it's not going to interfere in any way with the treatment given to the driver. If the treating doctor says there's no reason why it can't be taken, there's no danger to the patient driver, everything we've had to do has been done, the Garda can then go ahead, and if the Garda forms the opinion that the driver is not able to give consent to agree to the blood sample, he can then ask a designated doctor, and this will be a different doctor to the treating doctor, to take a blood sample.
Who would arrive into A&D or wherever the person is and take the sample.
Yes, and this is really for the hospital setting. So the doctor who does this type of work for the Gardaí would come in, and again, provided that doctor is also satisfied that there's no reason why he shouldn't be taking it from an unconscious driver, that doctor, or indeed a nurse, when this is fully developed, will be in a position then to take a sample and then to send it in the ordinary way via the Gardaí to the Medical Bureau of Road Safety.
And the question of consent, from what I heard earlier on Morning Ireland and on bulletins, it's not really consent, because if you don't give consent, you've committed an offence.
Well, that's the law already. So, for example, if a driver is taken to a Garda station, he's required or she's required to give a blood or urine sample, and a refusal in itself is an offence unless there's a very serious medical reason. So it's simply doing exactly the same for the unconscious driver as if the driver were conscious.
Realistically, how frequently would you expect these provisions, these additional measures to be invoked or used?
It's very hard to predict, but it is expected that it will be small numbers, because very often when a driver is brought in and they're medically assessed, they will be well enough to give consent, and that law is already there. So it will probably be in smaller numbers, but it's quite significant in that I think there was a lot of concern that a driver who was unconscious may somehow escape being assessed for drink or drug driving.
Now, you've got the, and perhaps people will be as are maybe more interested in the roadside measures, the new roadside tests for impairment for drink and drugs. Are they identical measures or do they apply equally to both? Or what's the situation there?
Well, at the moment, people are probably very familiar that a guard on seeing somebody drive erratically or where there's been a road traffic collision or at one of the mandatory checkpoints, sometimes called the random testing, can already observe a driver, and they can also ask the driver to provide a breath sample for alcohol. Gardaí actually are quite good in picking up intoxication. And if, for example, the breathalyzer shows that the person has passed, that is under the limit or may not even have any alcohol, but still forms the opinion this person is intoxicated, they're not, acting properly, they seem impaired, this will increase, if you like, the accuracy of the Gardaí in being able then to require the person to carry out particular tests, because any of us who drives, we know it's actually quite a complex task. We often do it without thinking. But when you think what you have to do, coordinate your eyes, your hearing, your hands, you've got to react to your feet, the brake, the clutch, the accelerator, watch out for people, that actually takes an awful lot of coordination.
So as I understand it from listening to you just in the last moment or so, you're saying that even if you've done the breathalyzer and even if you come in under the limit that it's okay, you won't necessarily be waved on. You could be asked to get out of the car, and then what?
Well, yeah, because the offence actually is intoxicated driving. So that's alcohol or drugs other than alcohol. So the Gardaí then, at particular checkpoints where they're set up for it and where they've been trained, will be able then to ask the driver to carry out some tasks. Now, people are probably familiar with some of these from old movies because there are about five tasks. And for example, one of them would be the walk and turn test. That is, you walk a straight line, heel to toe, and you turn around. I'm not suggesting people go out and get intoxicated and try this at home, but people will immediately realise, and we see people, you're not able to do this as well, you're not able to balance, you're not able to coordinate, and that affects your driving. So that's one of the tests. Another one will be the finger to nose. People have seen it again in the movies. You put your arm out with your eyes open and closed, you're asked then to, with your the tip of your finger, to touch your nose. And it's quite amazing if you watch people, and I don't want people to be doing this too much in the pub tonight, but maybe just to show them that they're not as good as doing this. And this is an indication that those parts of the brain which help us do all of these things about driving, those parts are affected.
So it's with an outstretched arm, you bring in then presumably the index finger and touch your nose.
Yeah. And you do that with your eyes open and then eyes closed. And then the Gardaí, with that, there's also, they examine the eye, they get people to stand, they get people to assess how 30 seconds passing in time, they get them to stand on one leg. And the Gardaí have been trained to put all of that together and to form an overall opinion as to whether or not the driver is impaired or not impaired.
What is the evidential value in court cases going to be of the evidence that Gardaí gather on the roadside using these tests?
Well, the Road Traffic Act has now, for those particular sections, it's now in place. It's been commenced by the Minister for Transport, which means that evidence can now be brought into court as evidence of impairment where there's a case against somebody for intoxicated driving.
Yes, but if people fail one or more of those tests, does it follow that they're asked to go to a station and then to give a blood sample?
Yes, and then the blood sample will be analysed both for alcohol and for a variety of drugs which are known to impair driving.
And there's a difference, obviously, between prescription or prescribed drugs and non-prescription drugs.
Yes, well, the Minister and the government are currently looking at the legislation. At the moment, the law is that there must be both the confirmed presence of the drug in the blood plus evidence of impairment. And the government is considering different proposals as to how to make sure that people who are on medications and taking them in a prescribed way or over the counter in accordance with the pharmacist won't have anything to worry about. But it still means that even if you're on medications, if your dose changes, if the medication changes, you know yourself as a driver, if you feel groggy or not quite up to it, it may be under medical advice you don't drive for a few days until your body adjusts.
Yes, but I mean, a lot of people will pick up medicines from a supermarket shelf or over the counter. There's no need for a discussion with a pharmacist or a GP. And you can have a warning, look, this may cause drowsiness, and it may impair ability to drive and so forth. But, you know, what's the defence there where you can't necessarily draw on the supporting evidence of, say, your doctor or your pharmacist?
Well, over-the-counter medicines, the instructions are very clear. You're only meant to take, and we all see it, if you're taking something which might have codeine in it, it tells you to take only so many every 4 or 6 hours and not to take more than is on the box. So if people are taking medications that can cause drowsiness, they shouldn't find themselves in that position. But if they do, it's the responsibility of the driver not to drive. And instead of thinking of all of this as punishment or crime, I would implore people to think this is about road safety. This is about making sure you don't kill yourself, you don't maim yourself, you don't kill or maim anybody in the car, a member of your family, or somebody on the road. So if everybody thinks about this, particularly coming up to Christmas, look around the family table and say, we all want to be here for Christmas. We don't want anybody to lose their lives or to be paralysed for the rest of their life because somebody made the stupid mistake of drinking or taking medications or taking drugs and affected their driving.
The Minister spoke earlier on Morning Ireland, perhaps you might explain a bit more or elaborate on it, about, was it 10,000 samples were examined, blood samples for both alcohol and drugs?
Yes, over the last 7 years, between 2007 and 2013, there were about 10,000 and 15,000 samples of blood, urine and breath tested for alcohol per year. And in addition to that, we had, over those 7 years, 10,500 samples, blood and urine, checked for drugs other than alcohol, of which 7,200 turned up to be positive. That's about 70%. And that indicates that the Gardaí are already quite good at picking up intoxicated driving where it's either alcohol or drugs.
And as things stand, would those cases and those samples have led to prosecutions?
In a certain number of cases, and that's one of the reasons why the impairment testing laws effective today are being brought in, to increase the detection and indeed strengthen the evidence that Gardaí can bring to court to make our roads safer.
Professor Dennis Cusack, thank you very much indeed for coming into studio. That's Dennis Cusack there, head of the Medical Bureau of Road Safety and also Professor of Forensic and Legal Medicine at University College Dublin.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.